This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day before the inauguration, just 5 days before a scheduled big new round of protests that is supposed to be taking place on Sunday. All of that may be calming down, and we may be moving more in a direction of a normal inauguration and a beginning of a new term, in somewhat normal terms, with big plans. Every president since Franklin Roosevelt has tried hard to have a memorable first 100 days. Joe Biden has a number of promises he's made. He's talked about 100 million new vaccines for COVID-19 in his first 100 days of office. That would be a rate of 1 million vaccines every day. Is that possible? It's possible. Is it difficult? It's difficult. We will see how that comes out. He's also talking about spending $1.9 trillion, most of it, the majority of it, supposed to go as a new payment to Americans, most of whom have been struggling, but not all of whom will receive those payments. This would be a total of $2,000. In other words, I had thought yesterday when Biden was initially announcing it, before he announced it to the world and explained it, that what we'd be dealing with would be a total of $2,600 per person, because that $600 a person, that should already be in your bank account. It should already have arrived in your mailbox. You should have already gotten it. That was voted by the Congress after painstaking negotiations and finally signed by President Trump. But now Biden is talking about adding $1,400 to that 600, so that each individual, including dependent children, and he would expand it to college student dependent children. So if you have two kids in college and you're living with a partner, a spouse, I can say wife or husband, then the family would get that grand total of $8,000, because you'd have the original 600 that was authorized, and then an additional $1,400. Where's all this money coming from? It's going to be borrowed. Is that a good idea? It's one of the things we'll be talking about. People are also talking about unity, and somebody's actually taking steps in that direction. It's not a Democrat. Who is it? We will tell you. We are also going to be speaking with Alan Dershowitz about whether or not he is going to return to the fight as one of the president's lawyers in his impeachment struggle. Professor Dershowitz does not think that the president handled the entire matter well of the post-election period. And it's tough for me to imagine that anyone thinks the president has handled it well, but it turns out that polling shows that he still has enormous support from the Republican base, 91%, according to Frank Luntz. We'll hear from him a little bit later. In fact, if there are callers here who believe that President Trump has really done a nice job handling the post-election period, you can give us a call. We'll also be speaking a little bit later to Gordon Chang about the emergence of China as a singularly dangerous military dictatorship. Why is that a change? Chang says it's important to note that change, and we will take a look at that. And then the religious a constitution of the new Congress. What does it show about changes in America at large? 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. I mentioned before that somebody was actually doing something about unity, and it wasn't a Democrat. No, it's a Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. The New York Times, which surprise, 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 isn't a big fan of Mike Pence. It isn't a big fan, really, of anybody who is on the right or anyone who's a conservative or a Republican. But the New York Times has a headline, Pence occupying a leadership void, calls Harris, that would be the incoming vice president, Kamala Harris, to offer assistance as Trump plans his Inauguration Day getaway. Well, look, I mean, you can't blame him if he's not going to attend the inauguration. It's quite natural and it's more healthy that he'd be somewhere else entirely. I mean, the talk that people had at one point that he would go to some other part of the city and hold a separate inauguration ceremony, he may be holding a farewell address of some kind at the same time that Biden gives his inauguration speech, but that would also be very foolish and unnecessary and negative for the country, it seems to me. But a story says that Vice President Mike Pence telephoned Vice President-elect Kamala Harris yesterday to congratulate her and offer his belated assistance, filling a leadership role all but abdicated by President Trump, who is planning to fly out of the Capitol shortly before Joseph R. Biden Jr. is sworn in next week. The Pence-Harris conversation, relayed by two officials briefed on the call, was described as gracious and pleasant. The discussion is the first time Mr. Pence and Ms. Harris have spoken since they debated each other last fall. It also represents the only one-on-one interaction between the dueling 2020 presidential tickets. Mr. Trump has refused to call President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr. and has not even fully conceded defeat. Yes, that's difficult and it's unusual. And by the way, it turned out one of the things that I had suggested, and this was in a column in USA Today, it's kind of public, I suggested that regardless of what President Trump does, it was important that Mike Pence attend the inauguration. He's attending the inauguration. Good for him. I'd also suggested it was important that Mike Pence invite Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff, her husband, over to the vice presidential residence, which is at the Naval Observatory. And here it says in the New York Times, Vice President Pence and his wife, Karen, may have Ms. Harris, Vice President V. Harris, and her husband, Doug Emhoff, over to the vice presidential residence before the inauguration on Wednesday. In other words, for breakfast. It would be that kind of meeting because the inauguration's at noon. Those plans remain uncertain in part because of the security threats posed to the nation's capital, which have made scheduling fluid. Mr. Trump, who has kept a low profile since a mob of his supporters attacked the Capitol on January 6th, is expected to depart the White House for the final time early on the morning of the inauguration, people familiar with planning said. Mr. Trump's pre-inaugural takeoff from Joint Base Andrews represents a relatively low-key conclusion to one of the most tumultuous terms of any president in history. That's true, although it will not be entirely devoid of the pomp he demands. While the plans remain in flux, Mr. Trump hopes to depart to the blare of military band with a red carpet and military honors, those briefed on the planning said. Well, of course, this is all, again, one of those things that anything that brings us a little bit back to normal at this point is probably positive. And as much as we can have a celebratory and festive inauguration, that can only help the country. Vice President Pence spoke about his focus. This is clip 11. Just a moment. We will also be speaking coming up to Professor Alan Dershowitz, who does say that he believes that President Trump's, the article of impeachment that has been drawn up against him, should not prevail. He opposes it. But what does that mean for his defense of Trump? We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. Chances are you will, because the overwhelming majority, almost 3/4 of people who get that quick start, end up ordering more Relief Factor. Read all about it. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. MyPillow is patented and adjusts to any sleep position. It's washable and dryable, comes with a 10-year warranty, and 100% made in the USA. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress, toppers, and bath towels. That's $29.98 for a queen size premium MyPillow and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products. Buy now and I'll extend my 60-day money back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
I'm Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder and director of Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and TrumpsArmy.us. Are you willing to stand with President Trump and the U.S. armed forces he commands to help defend the office of the president, the streets of America, and the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Then go to TrumpsArmy.us and allow me to reward you for your patriotism as only I can. TrumpsArmy.us. We are Trump's citizen patriots. TrumpsArmy.us.
The last year was a brutal wake-up call and proved why you should always prepare far in advance for any emergency life throws at you. This year, the smartest move is to stockpile long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts up to 25 years in storage, ready to eat the moment you need it. Listen, failure to plan means planning for failure. Why wait for another crisis when you can easily and affordably have a 3-month, 6-month, even 1-year supply of food on hand? We're My Patriot Supply, the nation's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of customers for over a decade with tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. Our mission is your survival. So try our foods. They're delicious and provide 2,000 calories a day. Plus, our food kits will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in as little as 2 days. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The Michael Medved Show. With the inauguration coming up, it really is a good chance for uniting the country a little bit. Maybe bringing people together on Martin Luther King holiday, which is Monday. And why is it Monday, why is that happening? Because it's always on a Monday to add to a weekend. And Dr. King was born in January. And there's maybe some hope that some of the programming, some of the public appearances, some of the commentary can do what I do believe Dr. King tried to do with his example, which is to find common ground. And there ought to be common ground. One of the issues that we're going to be talking about today is there common ground in the Republican Party? Or is the Republican Party, as a bunch of people on the left want to say, irretrievably broken? I don't believe that is true, but we will discuss that on the Michael Medved Show. I mentioned Mike Pence's commentary, and again, he has stepped up. He stepped up not only in the certification of the electoral votes, which had already been counted and checked and recounted and audited, and that was good. And now it's good that he's speaking this way and occupying a leadership basic void that the current president of the United States does not seem to be interested in holding. Here's Vice President Pence.
And as the president made clear yesterday, we are committed to an orderly transition and to a safe inauguration. And the American people deserve nothing less. And I'm looking forward today to hear about the efforts. We're deploying the full resources of the federal government to ensure that both of those occur. I look forward to the details of those efforts.
Okay, as the New York Times points out, in the weeks since a violent mob attacked the Capitol, with some of them hoping to kill Vice President Pence, well, you could say they didn't want to kill him, they just wanted to hang him. They just wanted to hang him out to dry. Yeah, but they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence." The president has said nothing in public about his vice president, who has been one of the most deferential members of Mr. Trump's staff until a rift last week. Well, actually, technically, the vice president really is not a member of the president's staff, but okay. Mr. Pence returned to the Senate chamber after the attack to preside over the certification, and he spoke memorably at that time. He said, let's get back to work, which is exactly the right attitude to take. And in the days since, writes the Times, he has attended law enforcement briefings about the security threat, and yesterday he made an impromptu visit to the Capitol to thank all of the soldiers posted there. And people bring up, we have more more military personnel right now in the nation's capital to make sure that everything is safe and orderly and reasonable. We have more people in the nation's capital than we have troops all over the Middle East. In Iraq or Syria, or we don't have any troops in Syria, or Afghanistan, all combined. There are more people in the capital, over 15,000. Vice President Pence was also meeting with the FBI director, Christopher Wray. And why? Because Christopher Wray, who is still there, and by the way, will most likely continue through the Biden administration. There certainly has been no indication that Joe Biden is going to replace him, and normally it's a 10-year term for the FBI director. And Christopher Wray has only used up about 3.5 years of that. But FBI director Christopher Wray was talking about the briefing that he had with Vice President Pence and what the vice president is doing. Listen.
Of concerning online chatter, I guess the best way I would describe it, about a number of events surrounding the inauguration. And together with our partners, we evaluate those threats and what kind of resources to deploy against them. Right now, we're tracking calls for potential armed protests and activity leading up to the inauguration. And the reason I use the word potential is because one of the real challenges in this space is trying to distinguish what's aspirational versus what's intentional. We're concerned about the potential for violence at multiple protests and rallies planned here in D.C. and at state capitol buildings around the country in the days to come that could bring armed individuals within close proximity to government buildings and officials.
Okay, it's a very, very, very strange moment. There's a good piece I want to get to over at National Review called The Flight 93 Post-Election. You may remember that famous piece by Michael Anton. It was called The Flight 93 Election, which was very much an item of conversation in 2016. I know that they are people are talking about this Sunday, the 17th of January, trying to have marches, armed marches, on all state capitals. And yes, another armed march on the capital of the country, on Washington, D.C., which is on edge anyway. Does anybody think that's a good idea? Is anybody participating? Do you know anybody who is participating, or you think this is going to actually help the country? If you do, I just want to listen to you. 1-800-955-1776. Because, look, right now they have continued to arrest various people for various crimes. One of the people who's been arrested already is asking for a presidential pardon. I don't think he will get it. But this is truly a bizarre moment. And for people who say, well, wait a minute, we're honoring Dr. King on Monday. And by the way, you can get our great, if I do say so myself, history program on Dr. King, Providence and the Prophet, the real meaning of Dr. Martin Luther King. That's available for people who are med heads. You get it 50% off, or you get it at a low cost anyway, just as a download from MedVed History Store. You can go to michaelmedved.com. What about the idea of Dr. King using civil disobedience, using mass rallies? What's wrong with people doing that now? There is all the difference in the world. Dr. King was not attempting ever to unseat a government or to disrupt the functions of government. It was actually to have a more just order, not anarchy. We'll be right back with more of that and talking to Alan Dershowitz on the situation on impeachment coming up.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael Medved Show.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is tapping retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré to conduct a review of security after the deadly violent attack on the Capitol on January 6th.
Following the attack last week on the Capitol complex, there's been unprecedented mobilization of security in the Capitol.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, chief medical advisor to the incoming Biden administration, tells NBC's Today show Biden's plan to vaccinate 100 million people in 100 days is doable.
We think it's quite feasible that we can do that. Right now, even now, we've gone from 500,000 a day to 750,000 a day. I believe strongly that it's doable, and if we do it, stay on target to get the overwhelming majority of the country vaccinated.
USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Professor Alan Dershowitz taught at Harvard Law School for 50 very distinguished years. He's one of America's perennial best-selling authors, one of our best-known legal commentators. He was also part of the Trump defense team during the last impeachment, the last annual impeachment. We seem to have one every year. This is 13 months ago. We were dealing with the other impeachment. You can actually listen to Professor Dershowitz quite regularly on the Dersh Show on Rumble YouTube. That's his podcast. Professor Dershowitz, always great to speak with you. Have you decided yet, or have you been asked, are you actually going to function as part of the legal team again on behalf of the president?
I don't think there really is a role for a lawyer in this political theater. What's going on is he was impeached without any lawyer having an opportunity to present the defense, with no evidence being allowed to be presented in his defense. And now they want to try him after he becomes a private citizen, which would be a bill of attainder. Congress has no power to try ordinary citizens and punish them by disqualification. So I don't see a role for a lawyer. It's political theater, and I'm neither a politician nor an actor. So I'm going to continue to defend the First Amendment and the Constitution in the court of public opinion by being on shows like yours and others. And I'm standing up for something that most of my academic colleagues won't stand up for. You know, they are all saying that his speech was not protected by the Constitution. If the same speech was delivered by a Democrat, they'd be jumping up and down and saying it was covered by the Constitution. If the attempt to impeach him after he leaves office were being done against a Democrat, Larry Tribe would be all over television saying that's unconstitutional. But, you know, for these alleged scholars who are really zealous advocates who use their scholarship as a cover for their politics, they all fail to shoe on the other foot test. It's all ad hominem. If it's Trump, it's it's unconstitutional or constitutional as the case may be. If it's somebody else, the rules are different. So I don't see any role for a lawyer in this case, but I'm going to continue to be maybe one of the sole academics who continues to defend the First Amendment.
Okay, and when you're defending the First Amendment, what you're talking about is the incitement to insurrection, which is the grounds for the single article of impeachment. You're saying that the so-called incitement, and you cite the Brandenburg case and others, does not constitute what would be an illegal act. That, in other words, they can't really impeach him and remove him from office on something like this, because even as a private citizen, he faces no real chance of indictment and conviction on that kind of charge.
But it's worse. Worse than that. It's not only not an illegal act; it's a constitutionally protected act, and you can't impeach a president under one part of the Constitution by violating another part of the Constitution. I wrote a column yesterday for the Hill that documented that in one day this past week, Congress violated six provisions of the Constitution in one day, a world record. I mean, they broke the record by impeaching the same president twice, but the more important record is six violations of the Constitution. They violated the First Amendment. They violated the criteria for impeachment. They violated due process by no opportunity to present. They violated the Constitution by saying that they would put him on trial after he left office. They violated the Constitution by suggesting that a bill of attainder would be proper, that Congress, Senate had the right to try an ordinary person. Imagine if that's true. Imagine if the Senate had the right to try somebody who was not then sitting in office. They could pick out a candidate from the opposing party and say, gee, he's too strong. We don't want him to run against us. Let's impeach him. Remember, too, they didn't impeach Nixon or try him after he resigned, even though he clearly committed impeachable offenses and had the votes necessary to impeach and try him. But they didn't do it, and they shouldn't do it now either.
What would you advise for people who agree with you? What is to be done? They haven't even announced a date yet where they're going to commence the Senate trial. Is there a way for the Senate to back away from actually conducting a trial and a vote on President Trump's removal from office, since he's already will be removed?
I think so. I think pressure on the Senate would be a good thing. I've also suggested that a lawsuit might be possible to declare declaratory judgment or an injunction that the Senate simply loses all power to try people once they leave office. Remember, the Bill of Attainder was a very powerful tool used in England before our revolution, where the legislature could put somebody on trial and sentence them to death. They did it to kings, to dukes, to others, and to ordinary common people. And when we established our Constitution, we said, no. Legislatures don't try people, except in cases of removal for office. That's the only time the Senate gets to put somebody on trial. And if the person's already left office, whether by resignation, Nixon, or by his term ending, like Trump, there's simply no authority to try ordinary citizens in front of the Senate.
So what do you say to those people who say, well, wait a minute, back in 1876, the Secretary of War, William Belknap, for U.S. Grant, resigned, and then they put him on trial in the Senate anyway. But that hasn't been decided whether that was constitutional or not.
It was clearly unconstitutional, number one. Number two, it was a very closely divided vote. And then number three, they acquitted him on the ground that they had no jurisdiction. People forget to mention that. He had, you need two-thirds vote to convict him, and most of the votes against his conviction came from senators who thought he was guilty, but they didn't think they had jurisdiction. So that's not a precedent in favor of being able to try him. It's more of a precedent against it, because he was acquitted on the ground that there was no jurisdiction in the Senate.
You agree, and you acknowledge this in your column, that President Trump handled the situation badly.
Terribly,
when the crowd came to Washington. Okay, what would the right response have been for constitutionally and strategically for our U.S. Senate and House?
Well, first of all, he never should have. Oh, the response to what he did.
Yeah.
There are many responses. You know, people should express outrage. People should say, we're not going to vote for him in his party anymore. There are all kinds of political and moral repercussions, condemnation. But impeachment isn't one of them. You know, the framers rejected the British system of parliamentary elections where a prime minister is thrown out of office the minute he doesn't have majority support. That was proposed. It was proposed during the Constitutional Convention, number one, that a president should be removed by a vote of Congress. Rejected. Next, that a president can be removed and impeached if he engages in maladministration. And Madison said, no, that would make us like Britain, and it would have a president serve at the pleasure of the Congress. So they instead introduced four criteria, all of which are criminal in nature: treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So they made it into a legal proceeding, and they required two-thirds majority, supermajority, to remove from office. And, you know, if you don't like it, amend the Constitution, but don't fiddle with the current Constitution because you don't like the incumbent.
This is all fascinating. It's obviously very important, and it's very necessary, it seems to me, to find some kind of middle ground, as Professor Dershowitz is trying to do, between Trump did nothing wrong, he did a lot that was wrong, he did a lot that is worthy of criticism, but impeachment, especially impeachment after he leaves office, is not the right answer. There's further conversation about this and many other subjects available on The Dershow. Get it? It's Dershowitz, right? The Dershow, D-E-R-S-H-O-W, on Rumble. That is his podcast on YouTube. Check it out, and let me wish you the best for a great weekend, Martin Luther King holiday, and a peaceful and uplifting, God willing, Inauguration Day. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
Entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
Right now, demand for physical precious metals continues strong and supplies are once again getting tight, so our economic problems are not likely to improve anytime soon. And that's what's caused gold and silver to go up in value recently. People are worried, and COVID-19 threatens to stop getting us back on track. Precious metals have always proven themselves in a time of crisis, but you need to choose which ones to buy and when, especially given recent short-term dips in the market. Now, analysts at major banks are forecasting that gold is ready to set new highs in the near term. Over many years, Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has proven himself as my go-to expert with smart, educated, responsible recommendations. Nick wants to offer his four decades experience to you. Give the AmFed team a call right now at 800-221-7694 and find out more at AmericanFederal.com. That's 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Right now is a great time to become a MedHead at MichaelMedVet.com. When you sign up to become a premium subscriber, use the promo code WINTER40, that's WINTER40, and you'll get $20 off an annual membership. So what then is your grand total for a year subscription? Just $39, or a little more than $3 a month. And what do you get for your money? The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial free, show archives going back over 5 years, all of Michael's current commentaries as well as commentary archives, 2 exclusive podcasts, added discounts at the MedVet History Store, and a Listen Live tab where you can catch all of the news and Michael's views that are happening in real time. It's all at MichaelMedVet.com. Go to the website, click the MedHead banner, and sign up today. Make sure to use the promo code WINTER40. It's a great way to support the show and the unique content and perspectives from Michael Medved. From all of us here at the program, thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved Show. One of the aspects that motivated the crowd that had gathered in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, the crowd of Trump supporters, and yes, there were mostly Trump supporters, one of the people who was arrested in the last 24 hours was apparently self-identified as a left-wing activist. He was not charged with any violent crime. He had just sort of followed the crowd inside. He said that he had only come along with the crowd to document its excesses. In other words, there are a lot of people who were trying to film it. It was a newsworthy event. Okay, not an indication of someone. He was not dressed in Trump garb or anything of that nature. It was not one of those ideas of imposture that people have kept going back to. And there are now estimates that the crowd, based upon video footage, was much, much larger than initially reported, the crowd that actually came up to the Capitol building. The crowd surrounding the Capitol building, not everybody went in, obviously. There are some estimates that now say 40,000, 45,000. It was certainly a big crowd. And The whole idea that motivated some people was that they had to somehow block Joe Biden's election, because Joe Biden's election would mean the end of Christianity in America. And you've probably heard some of that religion is under attack. President Trump said that in some of his rallies, that he felt that it was only by reelecting him that religious faith, religious liberty would be safe at all. I don't know if it would reassure people at all, but it certainly is interesting. There is a big new piece published by the Pew Forum, and it basically asks about religious affiliation of the new people who've been elected to Congress. Now, of course, Republicans did better than expected in winning a re-election and in actually capturing some Democratic seats in the House, but we still have now a evenly split Senate, 50-50, and we have a House that remains a majority Democrat. And we also have a Congress overall, if you take all 585 seats, that is overwhelmingly Christian. It's nearly 9 in 10 members of Congress identify as Christian, 88%, which is actually slightly higher. There's one more identifying Christian with the election, by the way, of Reverend Raphael Warnock, clergyman. And you may not like his brand of Christianity. I'm not a big fan of it. But the idea that there 80% of the members of Congress are Christian, in the general public, it's not 88%, it's 65% say they're Christian of some kind. Congress is both more heavily Protestant, 55% of all members of Congress say they're Protestant, as opposed to 43% of the general public, and much more heavily Catholic. 30% of Congress says they're Catholic, as opposed to 20% of the U.S. in general. The one group that is most strikingly underrepresented in Congress of the United States, about a quarter of U.S. adults are religiously unaffiliated, 26%. They describe themselves as atheists, agnostic, or nothing in particular. How many members of Congress describe themselves that way? One. It's Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona, who is also one, I think she's one now, of two openly bisexual members of Congress. But Senator Sinema, that means that the religiously unaffiliated are 1/2 of 1% of the Congress of the United States. In terms of the perception, and frankly it's a perception I've always had, which is that there are a lot of prominent Jewish people in Congress. Actually, there are a total of 33 Jewish members of Congress, actually 34 now, with John Ossoff in Georgia being elected. And that means a little bit below 7% of Congress is Jewish, as opposed to 2% in the general population. There are 3 Muslims in Congress, which is about the same as their percentage of the general population, 1%. There are 2 Hindus. Is this somehow a problem that people have to adjust for, to see people who are religiously unaffiliated more actively represented? Look, I think what this reflects is not necessarily that people of deep, deep, deep religious faith are the ones who run for Congress. What it reflects in part is the fact that it is still more popular. I think people react better if you say, oh, I go to church regularly, I'm actively involved in church, I have an affiliation. That's a more popular thing to say than to come out and say, I'm nothing in particular. There's one member of Congress, the Democratic Representative Jared Huffman, who describes himself as a humanist. He is listed in the other category. Fewer than 0.3% of U.S. adults specifically call themselves humanists. Sinema is the only member of the 117th Congress who identifies as religiously unaffiliated. But both Sinema and Huffman have said they do not consider themselves atheists. Atheists, again, not popular. There's still a majority of Americans who say they wouldn't vote for an atheist, which I think helps to explain the fact that the disproportionately large number of members of the new Congress suggest that they are Christian. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. When it comes to polling and American sentiment, Frank Luntz has something that shouldn't be surprising about the feelings of Trump supporters since all the chaos in the post-election period. This is clip 9. Listen.
91% of those who voted for Donald Trump on Election Day would vote for him again. And this is a poll that was done on Monday, just 48 hours ago. And it's astounding. And only 5% would switch their vote from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And I got two more numbers for you. 67% believe that if the votes were counted accurately and fairly, Donald Trump would have won. And the most staggering of all, 78% believed that the election was rigged and stolen. So you've got a segment of the American people, a large segment, that do not trust our electoral process and are just so angry that they feel like the country's drifting away from them.
Okay, when he's giving those numbers, 67%, 78%, that's of people who voted for President Trump. They're a very small number of Democrats and independents or people who voted for Joe Biden. And again, I don't think anyone is questioning Joe Biden's very, very large, more than 7 million votes advantage in the popular vote. People bring up all the time that President Trump won 74 million votes. He did. And Joe Biden won 81 million votes. And the idea that the election was not conducted properly, the basic question here is what do people think actually happened? And the problem with such a high percentage of Trump supporters saying that the election was stolen or it was rigged somehow or it wasn't fair is that it's going to make it more difficult to get anything done or to build any kind of coalition or even to keep the Republican Party together. And the point is we have a very elaborate legal system. And there certainly were many, many attempts by some very prominent lawyers to try to challenge some of the election statistics. There were recounts in a half dozen states. There were audits of ballots. There were checks. There were legal inspections. And ultimately, rule of law suggests that the election happened. So what are the alternatives to that? We'll talk about that and talk about what really motivated the people who marched on the Capitol and maybe marching on the Capitol again on this Sunday, the 17th, and then again on Inauguration Day for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.